We as human beings are calculators. In everyday life, we spend most of our time calculating, making calculations. We make change, we balance our finances and our payments and our tips, etc. We make calculations as to how soon things are going to happen. We make calculations as to how far the gas in our car is going to take us. Farmers make calculations on how much seed they should sow per acre and how much fertilizer they should put on. When we're baking or cooking in the kitchen, we make calculations as to how much ingredients we put in to make it turn out right. And even when it comes to financial giving in the church, we're calculators. We make calculations. And when the divine hand of God reaches out, whether it's at Christmas time and the red kettles of the Salvation Army or some campaign to help starving children somewhere in the world, maybe someone in need in our community, or especially when the collection plate comes around on Sunday morning, we calculate. We're always calculating. And when we calculate in our giving, we ultimately make a decision that is a statement of faith that says something about our relationship with our Creator, Almighty God. That decision is based on the question, how much is enough when we give? And we calculate as to how much we should give. How much is enough when we give to the church? We want a formula. We want to know. We want to get technical. We want calculations because we're calculators. And certainly we don't want to give too much, do we? In some people's minds. I want to talk today specifically and biblically about two principles concerning our offerings in the church. In the Old Testament, as we've been talking about, giving to God apart from the sacrifices and special offerings was to be done in terms of tithing, giving a tenth of all that God had given them, their animals, their fruit, their produce, the crops of the land. They were to give a tenth. They were to bring it into the Lord's house, and it was to be kept there for the benefit of the community of God's people. The New Testament, however, teaches it a little differently. When Paul talks about giving, he's talking in terms of the offering that he was gathering as he went around to the churches. He was gathering money from them to take back to the poor Christians in Jerusalem, the Christian sisters and brothers there back in Jerusalem. And he teaches about giving in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and here in 1 Corinthians 16. He teaches in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 about giving sacrificially, about how the churches in Macedonia gave out of their poverty. They still gave. They wanted to give. And he teaches about giving proportionally. In other words, giving in proportion to what one has, because God knows if we don't have, we can't give. And it doesn't make sense for one person to go bankrupt and cause a lot of problems in their own life in order to give for someone else, because then you have this stress. And I know we're supposed to give for the benefit of others, but there's a point, and God knows that point, and we know that point. So we're supposed to give proportionally to what we have. We're supposed to give willingly and cheerfully, Paul said. And principle number one tells us that when we give, when we calculate, attitude is important. This is why the church grew in the very first century. We look back in the book of Acts how the church was growing by the thousands. We remember on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up to preach. Thousands were converted. In chapter 4, all the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. So it any wonder that the church in the first century was growing by the thousands, and the church today in the 21st century is dying by the thousands? In Mark chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples were sitting in the temple courts where people brought their offerings in, and he was watching the rich put in huge amounts and making a lot of noise doing it so others would see them doing it. But a poor widow came in, and she gave two of these, two little minas, two copper coins, very small. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, she gave more than all those people did because she gave from her poverty. In other words, her attitude and her heart was in it more than the others. Granted, there were probably some of those rich who were giving large sums. There were probably some whose hearts were in the right place. But as a general rule, they did it for self-righteousness, to make themselves look good. And in the New Testament, Paul never mentions amounts, dollars and cents, but he gives suggestions to us as to how much is enough. He writes in his first letter to them about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. We see several things here that Paul's telling us regarding our offerings. First of all, we see that it's advice for at least two or more churches. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So this just wasn't an isolated incident. It was advice for all the churches. Paul saying, well, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So it was advice for more than just one church. Secondly, this was to be done regularly and timely. On the first day of every week, he says. On the first day of every week. This was to be done weekly on the first day. Regularly and timely. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money. So the money was to be separated and set aside. The King James Version says it this way, every one of you lay by him in store. In other words, take a certain amount and put it by you in store. And fourthly, a sum of money in keeping with his income. A sum of money in keeping with his income. Again, as the King James Version says, as God hath prospered him. Lay aside as God hath prospered him. So we say, how much is that amount? How much is that sum of money? Paul never gives dollars and cents. The Old Testament is a good place to start with a tithe or 10%. But the answer to the question of how much is enough is actually a question. How much has God prospered you on your journey of life? How much is enough to give? Well, how much has God prospered you on your journey of life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. A sum of money. We're to give a sum of money. The believers were to give regularly on the first day of every week, on the Lord's Day, a sum of money, a sum, a summary, so to speak. You know, the sum of something is the result you get when you add things together. It's a calculation that as you add things together, you come up with a sum, a summary. In the New Testament, the word for prosper implies from two Greek words, good progress or a good journey. In other words, to help on the road, on the journey, to succeed in reaching a certain point. In the Old Testament, it speaks of to push forward. In other words, to go on. So when you start to look at the biblical teaching of what it means to prosper, and in our society today, prosperity means our net gain, our net worth financially, what we've gained financially. But in the Bible, it means how we've prospered or how we've progressed on our journey on the road, how we've been helped on the road to succeed in reaching today. as God has prospered us, as we have succeeded in reaching this day, we're to set aside a sum of money. So when it comes to giving, one adds up or calculates all the good that we have received on our journey, daily, monthly, yearly. We come to a conclusion in our hearts as to how much we want to give. Not how much we are supposed to give, but how much we want to give. And if we consider who everything belongs to and how much the owner has allowed us to enjoy in this life, we conclude or we calculate that we have prospered because everything we have is a result of God's goodness in our lives. We have accomplished nothing. God has allowed everything. Thus, we prosper because of God. And once our hearts have accepted this, we find that the amount we should give will always be enough if we give from the heart, letting our hearts do the calculating. When we pull the money out of the pocket, we don't start counting and calculating what we're going to do and how much we should set aside and then put the rest in the plate. We stop and we think in our hearts, the Lord God has been good to me. Look what He has done for me. I have prospered because of the Lord. Here, Lord, you can take it all. You know the Lord knows that you can live on 90% of your income. You can live on 90% of your income. The Lord knows that. If you use the Old Testament principle of tithing, He only asks for 10%. Because He knows you can live on 90% of what He gives you. The thing we need to do is we need to get on board with Him to understand that. My father always says it's not what you make, it's what you spend in life. As far as finances. And God knows how much you need to live. So He gives you more, 10% more than you need, hoping that your heart will give it back so that God can use it in other places. Principle number two. First of all, principle number one, attitude is important. Principle number two, our offerings are a response to God and a reflection of our relationship with Him. This is where we step on toes. Our offerings are a response to God and a reflection of our relationship with Him. God gives to us, we respond to God. God continues to prosper us. We continue to respond accordingly. That's the relationship we should have with God. The more God gives us, the more we should be giving back. Consistently growing in our giving. If we know God and we look back, we find that He always provides for us. He has always provided for us. Sometimes it's taken a little longer periods of time. Sometimes it's instantaneous. In various ways, God has always provided for us. We have clothing, we have food, we have homes, we have vehicles, we have schools. We're free to worship in a beautiful building like this. And yes, life is not easy, but God continues to prosper us along that journey so that as we go, we can feel and sense and see God's grace working in our lives to carry us along. Paul knew this as he wrote to the Philippians in response to their gifts. They sent him when he was in prison. In thanks, Paul assures them that because they were faithful in helping Paul, God would meet all their needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. It's a scripture to cling to. My God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. When our relationship to God suffers, so does our giving. There's a certain percentage of the people who have withdrawn from God. And the first thing that happens, they withdraw from church and they withdraw from giving. For whatever reason that they might have. There's no reason to withdraw from God. Absolutely no reason. God is our hope. He is our future. He is our eternal life. And if we expect to live with Him forever, how can we even imagine or think about withdrawing from Him? Missing church. And withdraw from giving. Then there's a certain percentage whose relationship has kind of leveled out. And it leveled out back in the 40s, sadly. Oh, they're always giving. They come to church and they always give. But they're giving the same amount as if nothing has changed. They're still putting $2 in the collection plate. The same they gave back in 1945. When you decide what your tithe is, that's not your same tithe forever or your offering forever. Because look around at what God has prospered you. God continues to pour out and pour out and pour out. Thirdly, there's a percentage of people that are angry with God. So they use their offerings, which actually belong to God. This is almost blasphemy. Using God's own possessions against Him. They use their offerings against the church and they threaten the church by saying, if you don't do what I'm going to do, or God doesn't do what I like, I'm going to stop giving. I'm going to withhold my tithe or my offering. You know what I say to people like that? Make sure you take it with you when you go out the door. That's blasphemy to God, to take God's possessions and keep it from God and threatening the church. The church doesn't always do what we should with God's money. We're human beings. We're fallible human beings. You might disagree with it, but that cannot stop you from giving. It cannot be the reason that you stop giving or that you don't give generously. Giving generously to God and to the church says to God that I trust you and I trust that you're going to work all things for good, for your purpose. Sadly, we don't need angry people withholding God's money from God. That just stirs up a can of trouble in the church. And fourthly, there's a percentage of people who have forgotten about God. Oh, they've prospered. They've prospered greatly. And in their prosperity, they've completely forgotten about God. They say, look what I've done. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. And oh, Lord, what an attitude to forget about God, to see all that we have and to claim it as our own, that we deserve it. Forgetting about God and forgetting to give back. So considering our two principles today when it comes to giving and deciding how much to give, our attitude and our relationship to God determines how much is enough, because that is what pleases God. He does not want your money. He does not want our money. He wants our hearts. Because then He knows when He has our hearts, we will give generously, regularly, and cheerfully to God. Traditionally, our denomination teaches tithing. That's a great place to start, but it's not the end. I challenge you to give a little more, maybe give a little less. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in your giving, and He will. So we come together on the first day of the week, and here we set aside a sum. You see, in Paul's day, they didn't have the church building the place, although they did gather together, and when they did, they would bring their offerings. But we gather here on the first day of the week to set aside a sum. To set aside this sum. Considering how much God has helped us on our journey and calculating, we give. We give. Whether you're working and receiving regular paycheck, whether you're self-employed, maybe you're on a fixed income, whatever, you have prospered in some way or another. And God is watching to see what we do with this money. And people say, well, I can't give very much, I'm on a fixed income. That's actually a blessing. You know how much you can give. You know how much you should give every single time you get that check. And it makes it a little easier to budget the rest of your money that God allows you to keep. Others who are self-employed say, well, I can't really give every week because from week to week my income varies. God knows that. So when you take in a larger sum, you give a larger amount. When you take in a smaller sum, you give a smaller amount. And if you're still into figures, you're one of the bean counters and you're still into figures, the Bible does not say this. But just look at our church budgets. Our church budget for 2014 here at Elamsport was just over $95,000 to operate our church, to do our mission work, our ministries in 1 year. So you can do the math. Divide that by 52 weeks. Divide it by the people that are giving. And herein is where we lack in wisdom. Because if everyone gave, no one would have to give over and above what they really want to give. If everyone gave, we'd all only have to give a little. And it would amount to a lot. I warn against giving with this frame of mind because the Bible doesn't tell us to do it this way. And instead, I encourage you to consider in your heart how much God has done for you and how much He's given you, how He has helped you on your journey of life, and purpose in your heart through spiritual calculation weekly to open your hand and let go as you respond to God's goodness. Weekly, whether you're here or not, weekly, regularly, on the first day of the week, giving a sum. Then and only then will your heart be cheerful as you give, and what you give will always be enough. Do the math, add and subtract, see where God has brought you, and let your heart be your guide. And as the old hymn says, praise the Savior, ye who know Him, who can tell how much we owe Him. Gladly let us render to Him all we are and have. Let's pray. Our God, sometimes